This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app, streaming live on YouTube, too, at the Team 980, where you see the Athletics' Ben Standing. We could play the fancy Not My Beat imager, Ben, but then you just have to be sitting here longer, not being able to hear it because you're not wearing headphones. And so we're going to get right into it, if that's good with you.
I got here Sunday. I'm not trying to act like I'm, like, exhausted, like I've been running marathons, but I was basically too lazy to put the headphones on. But that's kind of where I'm at right now.
That is Indianapolis they on Wednesday.
Like, right here, we give my iron stretch hat. It's, like, right there. I just couldn't do it.
Yeah. Okay, hold on. I'm going to veer. We'll get to the things that Dan Quinn said and all that stuff in a second. But we're inside baseball combine talk for a second. I feel like next year – I want to come later in the week because I know it gets emptier from, like, this part of it, the media part of it, because all of the GM and head coach pressures are pushed earlier in the week. But the workouts don't even start until after most of the media leaves, and this year that includes me. My flight takes off 90 minutes after the first workout begins. Like, I actually want to stay and see some of that stuff and do that. Like, what? I guess, really, Ben, if I'm going to ask you a question about this, why the hell do they do this way? What are we all doing? A question that many people in NFL media have asked themselves in Indianapolis.
Well, you know, the funny thing is, and I wrote about this a little bit earlier in the week about, like, what am I watching for at the combine? And honestly, most of the story was about the veteran market.
Right.
It wasn't really about this. Now, of course, we're in a world where a year ago that would not have been the case. We were all about the quarterbacks. But this is kind of where free agency really kind of starts, or the trade market at least, right? And the draft, it's not that it is secondary, but, you know, the only thing that really I think matters for most of these teams is, like, the measurables. And, you know, some of that does obviously factor in.
The medicals are huge.
The medicals and the talking, you know, the interviews that they do, at least, you know, like for Dan Quinn, he doesn't know any of these guys for the most part. So they get that feeling. The on-field stuff, I mean, it's not that it doesn't matter. It's just I think it matters less. And, you know, I think also that they want to build out the week. They want you on Saturday to be in front of your television watching. I guess none of them are working out, but they want you to be watching, in theory, Cam Ward, Shedeur Sanders, and the receivers doing that. So I think that's why they push it back. But you're right. It is very – a lot of people we know have already left or leaving later today. So, yeah, it's odd in that regard that the actual thing we think we're here for is the backdrop to what's actually happening.
It's actually two events.
Yeah.
And there's, like, NFL – like, I don't know, the NFL spring break is the Super Bowl, because that's there, and that's zany, and there's a bunch of other Yahoos wandering around. This is more for the nerd, so it's whatever you want to call this portion of, like, the media stuff. And then there's the actual NFL Combine, but in many ways, the NFL, publicly at least, the NFL Combine hasn't actually started yet.
Right. I mean, also, like, the agents are here. Like, the Super Bowl, some of the league is there. Senior Bowl, some of the league is there. Here, more or less, somebody from every all 32 teams is here. A couple teams have leave their bigger decision makers behind. But, okay, almost everybody's here. The prospects are here. The agents are here. Some agents will be talking to all 32 teams about free agents and draft picks.
Right.
So the business of football is happening all around us. We are not
That's
privy.
What you call it. The first part of the week is the NFL Business Summit. And the second part of the week, there's a scouting combine.
Right.
There. So we can be careful, though. If the NFL gets word of that, they'll somehow monetize the NFL Business Summit. Hey, Roger, give me my cut. All right. As for the Business Summit, and that includes a press conference, if you JP is just interrupting in the middle of the show, like I don't have tremendous ADD.
Somebody was like yelling like right over our heads. There's a lot going on here.
Welcome to the zoo. No respect for this radio show. Again, I don't know if you saw this. Our Audacity sign. No respect for the show. They didn't spell our company name right.
That's the product I use for my podcast. Like when I have to produce it. I use Audacity.
Yeah, we got to get you Adobe Audition upgrade to the.
Somebody wants to pay for it. You know, I take the free. I get the free version off the internet.
Dan Quinn today, the biggest news that he makes, to the extent that this is news, is being non-committal, more so on Brandon Coleman than Mikey Sanders, but both of them saying, like, we have fresh eyes. Sanders still, hey, he could play inside, outside. Okay, well, he did that last year. For him to say Coleman is not definitively, like, we're shutting it down, he's our left tackle, done. Is that surprising to you, not surprising to you, significant, insignificant?
So in full context, in talking when we talked about Adam Peters and Dan Quinn, I don't know that they gave much of a direct answer to anything. Adam Peters admitted that John Allen was granted a request for a trade because we already had, but that was right out there. Other than that, neither one of them really said anything very specific. But, you know, I did ask both of them about Coleman because to me, we could talk about the offensive line all day we want, but who's playing where? You could tell me that they're going to have one Sam Cosmi's back, all five starters back in their positions, and I wouldn't be like, well, that's insane, but you want
to... It doesn't seem like optimal, but not insane. They didn't make the NFC Championship game with that offensive line, and the quarterback was still a rookie. What happens when he's got a year of experience under his belt?
Right. I mean, you know, and Wiley, look, I mean, you know, Wiley technically didn't give up a sack, according to PFF, and, like, his money... If you want to go out and get a tackle, cool. It's going to be a lot of money on the free agent market.
$10 million for a tackle is not that bad of a price.
Right. But what gets interesting is, like, if Coleman, you know, some people thought pre-draft he was more of a guard. You know, if you were to move him inside and, say, draft a tackle in my 10-point plan for the Commanders, I had them signing Alaric Jackson, the Rams left tackle the last couple of years. He's only 27, so it's still, you know, a younger guy. Now, all of a sudden, you'd have a couple younger guys. You could draft one. But the point is, where is Coleman? There was some promise. I mean, he's obviously a huge dude. You see the athleticism. He also gave up 10 sacks. It felt like a lot of times last year when Jaden Daniels was getting pressured quickly, it seemed to be coming from the left side. And, okay, so Adam Peters said, hey, look, he did pretty good considering he was a rookie. It's a tough adjustment, and there's no argument
he
there.
Did, but it doesn't mean that you can't do better. It's like, really, what is he for 2025? So I guess the question then becomes, and I'm sure they're trying to answer this question, I'm curious like what your answer would be, is the determining factor of where Brandon Coleman plays Brandon Coleman or what else they can get, right? Because if they can find, let's say, the kid Simmons from Ohio State falls in the draft, and
right.
But they're more comfortable with his knee than the other teams that let him fall, draft him, like you're drafting him to play left tackle. If you don't, like, and you're just drafting another Brandon Coleman type that might be a tackle, might be a guard, like, how do you decide which one is where?
You know, in my fantasy, like, baseball league, some guys have position eligibility at multiple spots, so I'll go through the draft or the auction and be like, okay, a second baseman, this guy is a good value, I'll get him, and I'll take this guy who can play second or short and move him to short. You can't exactly do that here. I mean, you can, but you
can. Well, you can, but, like, if you're just moving around the same exact pieces, it's like, I don't want to use the deck chairs on the Titanic, you know, moving around, because this is not the Titanic going down, but, like, if we swap chairs, you and I are sitting in the same chair. These are the same exact model, and all we've done is change their places.
Right.
And if you're going to get a third-round guy or a second-round guy who is pretty athletic, might be able to play tackle, but might be better suited at guard, congrats. You've now got two Brandon Colemans, and I don't know at that point, is it worth... Now, if you have two Brandon Colemans and one of them gets to play guard, like, that could be cool. But, like, which one? And that's the thing I don't know exactly what the process is yet. I don't know if they know in terms of figuring that part out.
Right. Like I said, that's the part. Like, it's just, we all get that offensive line could be better, needs to be better, and forget what they are. if you build up your offensive line, it makes everything behind you better, helps the quarterback, all that stuff. You can, you know, and to me, that is always where I would rather spend my money in offense besides the quarterback. It's just a matter of, yeah, do they think that Coleman is legitimately going to develop into that kind of player? Like, the one thing I was thinking about is, let's just say they willingly move Coleman inside and think, you know what, he's got a better chance to be a Pro Bowl level player there. Okay, cool. I mentioned signing an Alaric Jackson. Obviously, it's a lot of teams would be interested in a younger tackle, but let's just say that would happen. You know, if you drafted, you could still draft a tackle in the first round, right? That wouldn't be insane. And now all of a sudden, if you pull Wiley, move him to guard while Sam Cosmi is out, that gives you a nice fill in there. And then when Cosmi comes back, you all of a sudden would have Jackson, this 27-year-old tackle who has had a good experience, Coleman at left guard, Beata, she was very good last year, Sam Cosmi, obviously good, and now you're just first-round tackle. I don't know if they'll be better because we have to see it, but on paper, you'd have three younger guys plus Beata and Cosmi. All of a sudden, I feel like the offensive line has improved significantly.
Right.
And I didn't, a first-round pick is a good investment, and signing Jackson would be something, but like, that to me is super interesting. Now, you could do the same thing, draft a guard instead of a tackle and maybe keep Coleman at tackle, but that's my question. I don't know. Some people, like I was talking to Mitch Tischler, who's a big offensive line guy, he thinks, no, you leave Coleman there, stay with him, he buys that, and maybe that's accurate, but that's what I wonder. What do they think? Because that will dictate to me what they do with everything else.
The one thing I can probably safely say is one heck of a term, by the way. Like, if they get another Coleman type in that he could play tackle or guard, the way they'll probably decide is they'll have them compete for it, because that's how they do. Like, and that's important, and that's the way it should go. Is like, they probably won't, like, they probably have ideas, but they're going to let it play out because that's just how they go about their business. Ben Standick, The Athletic, with us here on the Hoffman Show, live on Radio Row at the NFL Scouting Combine in Indianapolis. If you had to bet a small amount of your own money on where they spend big money, or I would say the most money, where do you think that this $100 million post-John Allen trade or cut goes this offseason?
So are we talking just external or things like Terry McLaurin?
No, if it's all internal slash bringing guys back, that now all of a sudden Bobby costs a little more, Zach costs a little more, you extend Terry, and that's your biggest chunk, then I guess they'll go try to go bargain bin shopping again. But like, I was thinking more less specific to guys, more specific to positions.
Gotcha. I think the defensive line is got to be where they go. Like I said, I'm not saying they shouldn't upgrade on the offensive line, but again, you could bring the same group back and be like, okay, like you said, Coleman gets you better over the course of the year, James better, things like that. Defensive line right now, you know, they're moving on from John Allen. Dorrance Armstrong was fine last year, but I think, you know, look, he was more of a role player with Dallas, and, you know, sometimes less is more. It was some of these guys, you see that a lot in the NBA. Some guys are good for 15 minutes, not good for 30 minutes.
Right, you get exposed. It's too much.
And Armstrong was fine, but, like, you need something more across from him. You know, they're letting Allen go. Cool. They have no backup tackles right now, right? You have Payne and Newton. That, even if those two guys played 70% of the snaps, that's a 60% then still there. So they still need that too. So between those two situations, it just feels like that to me is where they have to go. Because even if you bring back your Dante Fowlers, your Cleveland Farrells, that's not enough. So I just feels like the defensive line, not only, and plus, look, they were 30th against the run.
Yes.
You know, they did, you know, Fowler and Luvu gave them some good pass rush, but, you know, it was overall somewhat inconsistent. And Fowler, you know, look, they got more at him you could have imagined, but I don't think he's a realistic two-way guy for them. You know, he played
he can be a situational pass rusher. Great.
Yeah.
But they need a one. And, like, that's the hard thing. And it's actually, we should have this conversation, because I heard you on with Robert Mays on the Athletic Football Show. Robert's doing a good series, or you're talking to beat reporters, obviously been part of their great network over the Athletic, about the most interesting teams in the NFL, and the Commanders were on the list. And I feel like you are lower on, and this is fun radio fodder, because Andrew Berry has shut it down. The Browns GM has said, we are not trading Myles Garrett. But eventually they might trade Myles Garrett, because Myles Garrett also seems like he is very serious about never wanting to play for the Cleveland Browns again. And eventually those two guys that are telling themselves and the world the truth right now, those two realities are going to eventually butt heads. So you seem like you are lower on the prospects of Garrett than certainly I am. So I don't misrepresent you, where are you at on their potential to bring in Myles Garrett, or spend big money on someone like a Myles Garrett?
I mean, certainly they have enough pieces to make a trade work. They have multiple, you know, first round pick this year and for next year. That alone gets you in the door, I would think. My thing is, again, you've got 28 free agents. I know they made the Final Four last year, but even if you said they're going to bring back all 28 guys, I don't know that that says to me they are ready to go to the, like, they're Myles Garrett away from being that next level. And I know you're like, well, what, people are like, well, wait a minute, what are you talking about? They lost to Philly, and otherwise they got all the way. But, you know, a lot of things worked out for them last year. Winning 5 games in a row down the stretch on the final play from scrimmage is not normal, right? The schedule's going to get harder, all these things. So I think they do need more, but I don't know that I'm ready to say they are the one player away. Plus, in order to make that trade, you have to give away picks. We know Adam Peters logically wants to build through the draft. They have 7 picks this year, but only 3 in the top 145. 3 in the top 80, but 3 in the top 145. So if you trade away, let's say a first this year or next year, you only have really 2 premium picks as it stands to add the other things that you need. So you have to weigh that. And that's where I'm sort of like, I can see them going out and spending money and signing a free agent for good money, but trading picks and then having to give money to somebody, to me it feels like they're a little bit further away than that.
So here's my counter argument to that. Finding the kind of guys they found last year is not easy.
Right.
But it's also a lot easier than finding a Myles Garrett.
Absolutely.
And they do, outside of Jaden, and if you want to put Terry in this class, fine. They don't have blue chip guys.
Right.
That is actually the difference between them and the Eagles, is the Eagles have blue chippers all over the freaking place. It's disgusting how well they've drafted. And part of that is they've taken, you know, have they missed on some guys? Sure. But they haven't really missed on their first round picks and second round picks in a couple of years. And they've made some smart trades down, to make sure. And when they've traded up, like Cooper DeJean was obviously a big deal. And, you know, the Commanders on the other side of that trade and did fine on their end of it. But like, they haven't missed at the top, and they've got enough picks late that they also hit a couple extra swings. For Washington, I don't know how they necessarily get those blue chip guys, because now you're stuck in the bottom of the round, and sure, maybe you can get it. But like when Philly got Jalen Carter, they were up, what, like 11, something like that? They had their one down year, and they made the most of it by getting Jalen Carter.
Right.
Some of these other guys they've gotten have been kind of more in the middle. Washington is probably going to be picking in the 20s for the foreseeable future. So how are you planning on getting the thing that you're missing? And to me, that's why Myles Garrett, even for 2 firsts, I'm in on that, especially if I think one first is going to be 29 and the second first is hopefully going to be 32 next year, or at the very least 31.
Look, I can't argue against anything you said. He's obviously...
I won the argument. But...
Well, I mean, I said, look, he's going to be better than, you know, anybody else you could get at that spot. It's a core position. You definitely need that. That was easily their biggest weakness. I mean, they weren't the only team to give up a bazillion yards to Saquon Barkley, but every single game... He got them, and if Detroit hadn't stopped giving Jahmyr Gibbs the ball, the same thing was happening in that game. So they obviously need that. There's no argument. Like I said, it's just, that's what's so weird about this situation. Under normal circumstances, we wouldn't even be debating this. They would be building through the draft again, but they went so much further.
And they might have I think they have the best quarterback in the conference.
I agree.
Which is also a game changer. And so I guess, like, in some ways, the question then becomes, on this theoretical, theological argument that we're having, football theology with Hoffman and Standing here on the Team 980, how different is Garrett minus 2 ones versus Josh Sweat at $23 million a year or whatever he's going to cost? And like, that's the calculation you have to make. And if they think Josh Sweat can be a blue chip type of guy in their system, okay, well, maybe that's a different conversation. But I think the difference between Josh Sweat and Myles Garrett is pretty significant. And that's not to say Josh Sweat's not better than everything that they have right now. It's just Myles Garrett's Myles Garrett.
Right. Like I said, I think, like you mentioned Philly, and I think that's the point of their whole season that was it was discussed and yet overlooked at the same time. They nail their draft year over year over year. And because of that, they're constantly have guys on rookie deals, not just a quarterback, but bunch of different guys. So they always have cheaper talent. And then you can go out and make those moves. They traded for A.J. Brown a couple years ago.
Which, by the way, if you can do something like that where it's a one-for-one swap, that is a huge key. The Eagles went one-for-one, one draft pick, middle of the first round for A.J. Brown. If you can trade 29 for a guy that's A.J. Brown caliber, obviously, you do that in a heartbeat.
Right. But so, like, if you made the trail for Myles Garrett and you give up first this year, next year, again, they've only had the one draft. This year, you only have the second and a third. Then it's, you know, most of the picks are later in round one. So you're, as it stands, you're not going to build up that pipeline. It's, look, it's unfortunate for this group, as we know, that draft picks between Daron Payne and Jaden Daniels are gone. So they don't have any of that to work with. And I just think that's such a, that puts you back in a way. So it just feels like to me they've got to get at least another draft under their belt to collectively have more of these younger pieces. They're going to be part of this core group. Also, you know, the cheaper contracts. I think to me that's more important. And you know, the NFL is getting weird right now. How many guys have requested trades?
A ton.
And it feels like this could be a trend that starts to continue.
Well, I think the trade market is going to be more. And we're guys that have watched the NBA and how wild that trade market has been. And it takes a while to find itself. And so there's a chance to, because one team's trash might be another team's treasure. And so if you have the right scheme fit, you have the right medical staff, you have the right stuff, then you can take someone who isn't working, or just sometimes it's just timeline. Like, oh crap, we need cap relief and we're not going to be good for 2 years. Here's this guy that's pretty good, but the way we structured his contract and where he is in it saves us a bunch of cap money. You're good right now and take him. And whether that's a Deebo Samuel or a Cooper Kupp, or obviously those two teams are hoping to be good right away, but like with where they are cap wise, that could work for the Commanders. And I think the other thing that's like important to explain when we talk about these trades, that you certainly understand as someone who does a lot with contracts and talks to agents and stuff, is when you're the team receiving a player in a trade, it's always cheaper for you because the prorated signing bonus money, that's the dead cap that's being left behind, is never your responsibility. And so by nature, you're getting the player at a discount, even if you keep them on the current deal. And I think that is, like, in a way, the market inefficiency that is never going to be able to get fixed in the NFL, and why trades are probably, and trades for veterans, and especially for a team like Washington that has a rookie quarterback contract and thus an extra $60 million a year of market value to play with, based off what Jaden should be making and what he is, like, I think it's probably a good way to build a team.
I think that's the part that's the most compelling, is you basically have a 2-year window before Jaden is eligible for an extension. And does that compel you to do more? I think to me that's the part that would get me to think, okay.
Well, especially if I can sign guys to 2-year deals with not a lot of guaranteed money in year three.
Right. Yeah, right. No, for sure. But, you know, like I said, if you make the Myles Garrett move, helps you tremendously on the line and the defense as a whole. You give up that first round pick, and now maybe there's enough move again. If you're gonna give Terry an extension, which I think is gonna happen, then you know you're probably doing a little bit less in free agency versus if they kind of do what they did last year in terms of, you know, signing like a Luvu, a Biotish, so on, but sign more of them, sign better players. Then now you're spreading
Josh Sweats of the world, that caliber.
Yeah, I mean, like if Cooper Kupp becomes a free agent, or you know, there's other receivers in that range. And that's the thing, like they as it stands, they need everything other than the quarterback. And that's the part that's so tricky. If they had more guys, if they hadn't just last year signed everybody to a 1-year contract, which was smart to do for that scenario, then we'd have a better feel for who they are and what they are. But we don't know who's coming back. They don't have final say. I mean, a lot of these guys aren't going to have like major markets, but we don't know who is coming back or who's not. Does Bobby Wagner want to go out and live back on the West Coast? I don't know. Who are they getting? They have, so if Myles Garrett's cool, still have questions on the offensive line. We don't know who the receivers are beyond Terry. Is Zach Ertz really going to give you that again?
But my counter argument to that would simply be, if you sign Josh Sweat, all those things are still true. Now,
but you don't give up the picks, though.
Right, but you're in the next 2 years. How much are those picks at the end of the first round going to help you? Like, Jaden broke our brains. Rookies aren't good. They're not supposed to be good.
Well, the only thing is, like, you know, in the NBA, if we said the 29th pick, we'd be like, all right, whatever. Who knows? The NFL, you're talking about a starter at one of many positions.
Sure.
Even that's the thing with NFL. Day three, people tend to look down on them. Where do you think, forget the special teams guys, like where do you think the left guard comes from? Where do you think the library? So like all these guys, all those spots will help you. So that, again, like that's the part. And this goes back to the Brandon Coleman thing. If they look at that guy and say, dude, we're good.
Yeah.
Okay, well, then that can start to change the calculus. Now you feel like you've already got a core piece there. Now going to get a Myles Garrett might be a little bit different. But if you're uncertain what you exactly have beyond Jaden and a couple other guys, then I don't know if you're one player away.
For sure. And here's the last thing I'll say to kind of wrap up this conversation is then it just – what it does is it takes away your margin for error. If you trade two ones or whatever for Miles, or you even trade, let's say just for the sake of this conversation, you traded your first two picks this year for Myles Garrett. Now you're down to five. If you nail four of the five, then it doesn't matter. It's just that's not how the draft works. The draft, typically, you want the most swings possible, and what you do is you shrink down your margin of error. Now you can make that up by trading back in other rounds, et cetera, but that's a much higher tightrope to walk.
And just to go on that, this is where Adam Peters is really interesting. Where he really made his reputation in San Francisco was day three guys.
Right.
One guy's a free agent, Hufanga, the safety. Yep. If Jeremy Chinn were to move on, would be somebody to look at. That's where Adam Peters really got value for the 49ers. If that starts to happen, it didn't quite happen this year yet. We'll see how some guys like Jordan McGee develop. Then all of a sudden it goes to a whole other level. But you can't. I'm not going to assume that a fifth round pick is going to turn into an all pro the way Hufanga did.
Right. And Adam, we trust, but within reason. The man is human. Ben Standing, you can read his work in The Athletic. You can also check out the Last Man Standing podcast. Ben, appreciate your time, sir. Thank you.
Thanks, man.
When we get back, Mark Ross, NFL Network, former NFL executive, joins us here on Radio Row.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
If you're thinking about GLP-1s for weight loss, listen up. You must make sure you're maintaining your muscle mass while you're losing weight. Otherwise, you can slow your metabolism and regain the weight. Omisid, a natural superfood protein shake, has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. It optimizes and supercharges your metabolism so you can lose weight easily. Use Omisid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at omised.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
True crime fans will love Crime House True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Every Monday, you'll experience the most notorious true crime cases from that week in history, all linked by a common theme. From serial killers to disappearances to unsolved murders and so much more. Follow and listen to Crime House True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. We're streaming live on YouTube, too, at the Team 980, where you see Mark Ross, former New York Giants executive. He's been with the NFL Network long enough that Washington fans don't have to be mad.
Yeah, well.
And you've been great on the show before.
I was Eagles,
know.
Too, so.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, in that case, sorry, it was great
that.
To have
yeah,
you, and good to see
no,
you.
And we used to beat up on y'all, too, the Giants and the Eagles, so sorry about
but
that.
It is, but it is a new day.
New day, man. New era, and I'm not with this team, so I'm rooting for y'all, too. So yeah, you got the best quarterback.
That is for sure, and that's something I remember talking to you about before the draft last year, and it's been great having you on the show, and you keep saying nice things about Washington, then they do great things, and now people in Washington can love you. So I want to actually start with the question that I'm asking everybody that comes through, because I think you're the only guy that's actually been in the team building process that I think I'm going to be able to talk to this week. So is there something, the way that Washington built what they built last year, that like changed the way you think about the NFL or team building? See, and maybe for someone who's thought about it as much as you, it's clarifying more than changing. But is there something that either changed or clarified about team building and success in the NFL
Not. I don't think they changed. I just think they got with what everybody else, well, the successful teams was doing, and that's some sort of stability and competency in the key decision-making positions of, okay, our GM, Adam Peters, this is not a question mark here. He's been established. Our head coach here, Dan Quinn, okay, is he the superstar? I don't know, but he's been established. He's won a lot of games with the Falcons. So you put those two pillars in place, and then it seemed as if they had a good plan of, let's just put this solid, consistent foundation here with the offseason signings. Oh, okay, now let's just go draft the best quarterback in the NFC with the second pick in the draft. That helps out a lot. So when you're three pillars, you crush those, you're off to a good start.
Yeah, and not to mention ownership, if you want to add that one in too. Like, that's the one who puts them all in place.
I'll leave y'all the Washingtonians to crush Snyder. But, yes, that helps as well.
If you think of the four main pillars of a successful organization.
I think that Snyder regime had everybody in Washington. So I got plenty of family and friends in Washington, man. And, you know, just to get that cloud out of there the first year, and then, okay, now you bring in the fresh ownership group. Certainly that helps.
So the thing that I feel like for me answers that question, and I'm curious to then run this by you as someone who's done it, is the competitive character part of the evals and how they built the team. And it's like, you can get, like, I'll use Madden ratings as a way to, like, make this universal, right? There's a bunch of different players in the NFL that have a 77 Madden rating, right? Like, that's actually not that hard to find.
Yeah.
But, like, how do you get there? Is it because you are a 77 every single week? Or are you a guy that plays like an 88 one week and a 65 the next? Like, the consistency of the competitive character that they had and the types of guys that they targeted, I think, was clarifying in a lot of ways that everyone was moving in the same direction.
Yeah, I think when I watch and evaluate players, you shouldn't have to look for them. So let's just say I'm this receiver, let's say a linebacker, and I'm like, okay, he's not involved in the action. He's like, when you're watching film and someone's always showing up, that's competitiveness. That's production, as opposed to, well, he's 6'5 and 300 pounds, and he may do this, he could do this, and he's up and down, and he shows flashes. Those are the ones that continue to sort of flash. Whereas those guys that are always at it, the competitiveness that you can easily see when you watch them, you watch Terry McLaurin, you don't have to guess where he is or what he's doing. He's giving it his all. You see that. Jaden Daniels, you see it in them. Those are the players that they brought in year one. Even the vets that they brought in, the Austin Ecklers of the world.
Right.
He may be tapped out, but this guy's bringing it. So that's how they built it and will continue the build. Now, the best mix is super talented guys that are
of course
super competitive. But where's the blend? Where's the formula of, okay, a little bit less talent, but the competitiveness, or a bunch of talent, the competitiveness? That's really what you're trying to achieve, that ultimate mix there.
Mark Ross, NFL Network, with us here on the Hoffman Show. Okay, well, let me ask you a dumb question then. Why didn't everybody get it right all the time? Like, what is the hard part about executing that? Because it sounds so simple, and I think that's why sometimes like people on my side of the business get it wrong.
Yep.
And then I think sometimes people on that like have been there will criticize. Like, oh, what does that guy know? And it's like then they get on TV and they say the same exact things that we've all been saying.
Exactly.
And it's like, okay, so the idea is not bad; it's the execution of it. Why is it so hard to execute?
Because there's so many variables, there's so many factors that go into one player, whether it's his own qualities, whether it's injuries, whether it's scheme, whether it's fit with that team, whether it's the coaching that comes with that the player that gets there, mentally, if they're prepared and ready, mature enough. And not everybody, not all players are made to make it. And that's, I think right now, all 300 of these guys at the combine are going to be Pro Bowl players. You know, that's the way we talk about these players. But no, the reality is there's going to be 10, and there's going to be 200 that don't make the NFL or and aren't very good. So I think the expectations that they are all are going to make it is just not realistic, because just like anything or any good profession in life that you do, there's going to be an upper echelon of talent, a good group, a lot of middle class, and then a ton of people that don't make it. And I think, unfortunately, that doesn't get applied to the NFL or sports, where at this time of year, all these guys are Pro Bowl players, and when they're not, like, they're a bust. They don't know what they're doing. But the intrinsic nature of scouting is find the gems and fill in the gaps there, and it makes the team.
Which is also the alternate answer to that first question I ask you is, like, I don't know, just be good at your job. Like, how do you be good? Well, be good at your job, because, like, oh, you can't possibly take a running back or a middle linebacker in the middle of the first round and then take a tight end. Well, like, unless it's Jahmyr Gibbs, Jack Campbell, and Sam LaPorta.
It all changes, right? And that's the thing. Like, everything is not set. Like, you have to do it this certain way. You have to adjust, but depending on what team you are and who you have on your team and the players and where you're going, the quarterback you have, all 32 teams are completely different in what they are and where they are and where they're trying to get. Of course, they're trying to win the Super Bowl, but they're all at different places, so you all can't do it the same. And every year, whoever wins the Super Bowl, how do we do it like them? Well, they're all different, and it changes. And for this year, I've been saying it over and over. You want to be like the Eagles? Just hit on all your draft picks the past 4 years.
Right.
Just do that, and you're fine.
Yeah, 100%.
And it was the same with the Patriots. How do we be like, go get Tom Brady, go get the greatest
quarterback. Right, and then having played a discount for 20 years. And that gives you a lot of wiggle room. And I will say, like, the Eagles thing, hit on all of them, but also trade back a bunch. Make sure that you have, if you do miss, that you have extra picks. Mm-hmm, like, which actually brings me to my next question. As we're talking to Mark Ross, former NFL executive with the Giants and the Eagles, we'll just say that part quickly and move on. And of course, now with the NFL Network here on the Hoffman Show on the Team 980. The Myles Garrett situation, you know, it's not going to be anything that happens quickly, especially as definitive as Andrew Berry was behind us at the podium yesterday. But conceptually, the idea that the Commanders can make a big move, and people are like, oh, you can't do that, can't go all in. It's like, well, there are other ways to you know, get more picks by trading back. Okay, you trade a couple away a couple picks, you trade back, now you get the right number later, but if you're good at your job and you nail the picks, then it can work out.
Yeah.
But for Washington, if you're in that front office and, you know, Adam Peters is going around the room soliciting opinions, what are you saying about the idea of giving up, let's say, two firsts for Myles Garrett?
Yeah, I think two firsts wouldn't be bad, but though, as you mentioned about Andrew Berry and how definitive he was, he's just, unless it's something unbelievable, he's not going to move off of it. So this is, of course, fun to talk to about Myles Garrett because it is Myles Garrett, but realistically, and what Andrew Berry's saying, some other GMs I would not believe, but him, I know Andrew, like, he's being honest about this thing. Like, he's not letting this guy go. So I think it'll be fun to talk about until something does or does not happen with Miles, but realistically, I don't think it'll happen.
So conceptually for Washington, if you are there's not another guy that's, you know, going to be the cost of Miles, obviously. But if you think about making trades and giving up draft capital, is that something that, based off where they are, they have to re-sign a ton of free agents. But they were in the NFC Championship game last year. So how are you thinking about that?
So their timeline got accelerated so fast, whereas last year it seemed as if, okay, fun team, rookie quarterback.
See if they're any good.
Be competitive. Yeah. See what's going on. Now it's we can beat the Eagles, you know. So it's
only team that did after week five, by the way.
That is true. We won't mention Jalen Hurts got hurt, but that's okay.
True.
No, they beat them and they went toe to toe. So they should be looking at it as, why not us? We got the best quarterback in the NFC. We got a good coach. We got all of this. And so their timeline and the way they're building this is sort of changed a little bit where, all right, can we be a little bit more aggressive? Should we be a little bit more aggressive? And that's what they're talking about all this all season. Now, you don't want to go crazy. You don't want to overvalue and be desperate. But you can be a little bit more aggressive, and we have a chance at this thing.
So my theory of the case with this roster is to going back to the Madden ratings, right? Like they've been really good at finding the 78 guys. Yeah, like, hey, yeah. How do we get men? Maybe even we coach them up, put them in a different scheme, and you know they're an 82 by the middle of the season. Like, oh, right. we got a deal. Getting the 95 guys hard, getting the 99 club guys. That's what's hard, and that's why like it. I'm like, yeah, I would do whatever it takes for Miles. Yep, like yep, I'm not gonna go break Andrew Berry's spirit down if he's this defiant about it, but like. That getting those kinds of guys costs money and or
no
draft
question.
Capital.
Yeah.
So is that do you feel like Washington's at a place in their timeline where that is something that they should be pursuing?
Yeah, it's always that fine line of, all right, how desperate how much do we want to give up to get? And as you said, great players usually are either super high draft picks or you pay a ton of money for them in free agency. And
right.
Washington,
or you got to draft them, but they're not 99s immediately.
Yeah, or you strike gold, you know, with somebody, but, you know, Terry McLaurin, you know, you strike gold like that. So for them, yeah, you need to, okay, this is where we are, and we might have to pay a ton to go get this. And, yeah, why not them? And, again, I get back to the landscape of who they're competing against and where they are as an organization. Like, yeah, this could be their time for a while.
So if you are looking at either this draft class or this free agency class, is there anybody that you would have at the very top of the board for Washington that not necessarily, it doesn't have to be like, oh, that's the guy I'd spend a ton of money on. Like I know one guy that a lot of fans like that I like for them is Darius Slayton. I don't know how much Darius Slayton's going to cost. Probably not anything crazy.
Yeah.
But like that idea of adding the vertical speed, I'm all on board with trying to pursue Darius Slayton. Is there anybody for Washington that sticks out for you?
You know, nobody just... You know, off the top of my head, I'd say, but for the most part, I don't think Darius Slayton really is going to move the needle for you guys. But when I watch the offense, you do need another person opposite Terry for sure. You know, that was the when I as fantastic as Jaden is in the run game, but you do need maybe one or two other playmakers there because when you're throwing to the Noah Browns of the world, like that's not going to get it done for y'all. There needs to be more there.
Mark Ross, you can catch him, NFL Network, their show Path to the Draft, obviously. They have all kinds of great stuff leading up, not only here in Indianapolis and the coverage all weekend, but leading up to the draft over the next few weeks. Good to finally meet you in person,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, for sure.
Mark Ross, everybody. We'll be back with more from Indy next on the Team 980. All right, Anthony. I just realized I was doing my hand signals back to you on the out time off when you weren't on camera, so I just look like an absolutely insane person just signing to myself. Pick your favorite thing in the Real Things folder. We got time probably for just one.
All right,
maybe we got time for two, but pick your favorite one first just in case.
All right, I'm going to go with Tarazi. She was on The View, and they asked her, why now? Retire.
What made you decide that now was the time?
Oh, God, that's such a hard question. It didn't just happen overnight. I think it was something that, as you know, the season started piling on. 20 seasons, you know, 12 seasons overseas.
Yeah.
I think just being 42 and really doing everything that I could have ever dreamt of doing on a basketball court, I felt full. I was happy. I was ready to move on. I don't know what that looks like, but I was ready.
Yeah.
What do you want your legacy to be with all of that?
Yeah, what else was there to do, really? Like,
I mean,
I think the one thing that I always prided myself on was the work. I loved showing up to work every single day. Like, I got that from my parents. You know, they came to this country in 78, and they always went to work every single morning. Like, my dad would get in that car at 4 a.m., drive an hour and a half, and that's just what you did, you know? You got up and you went to work, and you try to make the best of it for you and your family. And that's what I try to do for my teammates, show up for them every single day. And that loyalty to me was always huge.
She's arguably the GOAT. She's one of the best ever to do it. Diana Taurasi retiring yesterday at 42, which means, Anthony, absolutely horrifying thing has happened to a dear friend of mine.
Oh, no. Alicia Staotis in the WNBA now?
Yeah. That was immediately what happened. So my good friend Alicia Clark, former Mystic, now back with Seattle Storm, three-time WNBA champ. Now at 37, the oldest player in the WNBA. Alicia, I'm so sorry. Time comes for us all. Time's come for us on the show today. We'll see you tomorrow. Terps, Spartans, next.